Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today's Tuesday, January 26th. We're back with you with a great show today, Kelsey.
Yes, we are. We have some amazing guests.
Yes, we do. And we're excited because we always love studio guests.
Yes.
And we're going to have coming up this week, it's not going to be in the studio. She's going to be on the phone, but one of the stars of Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yay.
So I don't remember the name. I'm that bad. But I will by Friday.
Yes.
I promise. But we have an awesome guest today, brought us a couple gifts and stuff, so we're going to talk to him after we just cover a couple of things here. How are you doing, Kelsey?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good, yeah.
So you had like a hectic morning?
It was kind of crazy, which yeah. I love. I got to start really early in the morning, but yeah, it was kind of hard waking up. Started at 6 o'clock wow. with the actual filming, so I got up at about 5 and got all
and
dressed.
You got to turn yourself on at 5 o'clock in front of the camera, huh?
I know. Wow. I used to be a morning show host, but I'm a little rusty.
Yeah.
I'm not used to getting up that early anymore.
Yeah, that's too early.
It is.
I know. I thought I used to think this show should be 4 hours and start at 6, and then I thought, no way. So it used to be 2 hours, and then I from 9, and then I just turned it to an hour at 10, so I can sleep a little bit too.
There you go. Oh my gosh, 4 hours starting at 6? Oh wow.
Yeah, that would be a lot, because that's how traditional radio does it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you listen to a Howard Stern or to any of those shows, they're 3-4 hours, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's different kind of radio, you know. We try to fit a lot more shows here.
Mm-hmm.
So that works better. So just a couple things before we get to our guest. The latest poll is showing Donald Trump at 41%. I think it's a foregone conclusion he's getting the Republican nomination.
Yeah, I think so.
Two-thirds of the people are thinking so. And at this point, I think it's a moot point to even try and guess who else can beat him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I mean, you know, a lot of people are not happy about it, but we'll see. That's democracy. That's elections. And people get to say the word. I just don't think that people should vote out of anger.
Right.
You know, but that seems to be the case here. So I just wanted to bring that up. I like to discuss this because, you know, people like to travel to like exotic places and stuff.
Sure.
Like third world countries, you know. And I'm like, why? Yeah, you know, why are you doing that?
Oh,
I mean, the latest thing is a U.S. tourist was killed in Grenada. She was attacked. She was walking with her husband on the beach.
Okay, embarrassing. I don't even know where that is.
Grenada is like in the Caribbean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there was a U.S. invasion in there some time ago because mm-hmm. There was some conflict going on, but that was a long time ago. But so they went and she got attacked on the beach with a machete.
Oh my gosh.
Killed. And yeah, I mean, so and this stuff happens all the time. I mean, we hear about all these Western tourists get raped in India and people getting attacked everywhere. And I'm like, why are you even going to these places? There's so many great places to visit, you know. Go to Hawaii, you know, go to Europe or something, you know, go to Canada. Who needs to go to these places where you don't know what's going on? People are crazy. People are wild. The laws are whacked out, you know. And people go there and they die.
I hear what you're saying, but
yeah.
On the contrary, there is something to be said for exploring new places and learning new cultures, and that's what they're wanting to do. And it's sad that we have to live in a world where you fear for your life when you're trying to expand your horizon.
Right. And there are many cultures in the places I mentioned also, you know. It's not like you have to go necessarily to a culture that's like so distant. I mean, look, we have the freedom to travel. There's no doubt. I'm just saying my opinion is, and that's how I feel. Yeah, it would be nice to see India or something, but I'm never going there. you know, all these other places people go to, Indonesia and that. I mean, these are like violent places, you know, so I don't understand. I mean, if I wanted to visit the Far East, I'd go to Japan or something. A lot more modern, you know, things like that, you know, maybe even China. But even there, it's like, you know, my brother lives there and I don't think I could visit there.
You Where know, does your brother live?
In China.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's oh, my gosh.
There. Yeah, so.
I didn't know
so,
that.
Yeah, but I. So both of my brothers have been there, but I won't go. I like to travel in style, you know. And look, China is cool, but too much pollution. They say the streets really smell bad and stuff, you know, from all the food, whatever it is that they make there. But, yeah, that's a situation, you know. So, you know, and this is a woman that you can't say, well, she traveled alone. She was with her husband, you know.
Right.
So, you know, where do you feel safe, you know? Even Mexico, I don't feel safe.
You know, I don't either. You know, I used to live very close to Mexico, just a couple hours drive. And I remember even when I was in high school, which wasn't that long ago, I would drive across the border with my friends and we would like go to the Corona Club and like turn up because we could see over the bar and they would sell to us. We're like, we'll have 10 of everything.
Wow.
But yeah, now we don't.
It's
and
risky.
Yeah, I remember for my high school graduation, we went on a little senior trip to Cozumel. And I mean, we felt safe at the time. But
yeah,
I think I would be fine going to like a tourist destination now. But yeah, definitely not border towns or anything like that. That's a little scary.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do, you know? Finally, before we get to our guest, I want to bring this up, is that I guess, you know, people are smoking e-cigarettes now and they think they're better for them and stuff. But they're saying there's not enough that's known about the long-term effects of it.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're saying is they believe that teens are three times more likely to be smoking traditional cigarettes a year after they smoke e-cigarettes. You know, so that's interesting. I go for the real thing. I figure, you know, I'm going to kill myself faster, you know. So.
There you
go.
Yeah,
it's not funny. But
oh, my goodness.
It's so hard for me to kick. You know, I come from part of the world where people smoke a lot.
Really?
You know, yeah. And, I mean, look, it's improved quite a bit because Israel pretty much follows in everything that the United States does.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really smoke in public places and things like this anymore either. But the bottom line is that it's just not something that people do anymore, you know. And they say usually it's people that are less educated and things like that that smoke and stuff. And, I mean, yeah, if you look at the world and third world countries, people smoke more than they do here. But so I kind of feel like a dinosaur. I'm sort of like a leftover. There's not that many people that smoke anymore.
Not like it used to be.
Yeah, no. So, and that's a good thing.
But
you know,
yeah, one of my first commercials my very first commercial I ever did in LA was for an electronic cigarette company. Yes, and you know, they gave me free samples and I loved them. I was like, these can't be non-addictive. Like,
yeah, I can't see you smoke anything.
I know. I mean, I don't, but it was fun. I like it. It's like vapor, apparently.
Yeah. So they're saying it is a gateway drug to cigarettes, and so teens should just watch out. But I still say laws should not be made based on teens or kids, you know, because there's already laws, you know, that prohibit kids from, you know, of a certain age from using cigarettes and alcohol and things like that. And that should be the same way. But freedom of adults should not be taken away because we're afraid that kids will try it illegally or something. You know, I mean, kids are going to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
That's true.
So, yeah. So with people that want to ban stuff, I'm not with that at all. All right, anyway, let's get to more interesting things, and we're going to get to our guest now. We have Mr. Eric Dean Seaton in the studio. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
How of course. You? Thanks for sitting here patiently and surviving all the...
Very interesting. It's very educational.
Yeah, I know. We try to educate on the show, but we also try to entertain, and welcome to the show.
Thanks.
And we also have you publicist here. I just want to introduce you, Tegan. Go ahead, get to the microphone. Just say hi to us.
Good morning, LA.
Right. And don't think she can't talk. She has a lot to say, but she wants to stay in the background. So we'll see about that. But for now, we'll leave Tegan alone.
mic.
Yeah, well, it's off. Yeah. So, Erica, you are an L.A. native? Are you originally
from
here?
I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio.
Really?
Yes, and Midwestern. Oh, wow. Even though we're more closer to the east, but yes, Midwestern diehard Cleveland fan. So.
Oh.
Really?
So I live a very painful life.
Yeah.
Lots of losing championships and losing the 40th championships and losing coaches.
Oh, wow.
And losing players, and then they come back. So, yes, that's my
That's
life.
True. So sports-wise, you're not very proud of Cleveland, but...
No, that's the thing. We are the most diehard fans of all. If there's...
Oh, really?
2 minutes left in the game and we're down by 10, we still have hope.
Yes.
We're delusional. And it's how I spend my Sundays up until October. By then, they're so far out of the playoff race and I go to flea markets with my wife.
But
for those first 2 months, I have hope, and every year we believe we're going to go to the Super Bowl, and we're never going to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, maybe one day. You never
to visit,
know.
Yeah.
If you get a Peyton Manning or something there, you know.
Somebody.
You might,
so. Yeah. Yeah, we'd ruin him too. We've gotten good people and ruined them too. It's a culture.
It's a culture. It's a talent. Culture.
We're consistent, though. At least I'll say that.
Consistently
bad.
So what did you do in Cleveland before you moved here?
I was born and raised there. Went to high school there. Played football there. Played sports there.
Really?
Yeah, born
in high school?
In high school. Just loved everything Cleveland. Midwest is actually a great place to grow up.
Really?
I obviously like here better now that I'm an adult. But it was a great life. You get... all the cultures.
Yeah.
You know, Columbus, which is 2 hours from Cleveland, where I went to school at Ohio State, Netflix started there.
Mm.
It's like a testing grounds.
Victoria's
Secret started there.
Really?
Banana Republic started. It's a testing ground. It's the Midwest has so many different cultures and religions all mixed into one. Very segregated and at the same time all mixed together, that it's the perfect place to always test stuff.
Oh, wow.
And Ohio always decides the election.
Really?
No matter who's running.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Decides the election.
That's true, because they have a lot of electoral votes.
They have a lot of electorals, and they usually
stay till the end, right?
Yeah, and a lot of different people with different backgrounds, with different styles of living. Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Columbus are huge cities.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of rural areas, a lot of, farmers. So then there were the steel mills and the oil, and it's not far from Detroit and Michigan where, they were building the cars for a long time. It's a really interesting, culturally dynamic place.
Yeah, sounds good. So you're proud to be from there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. And at what age did you move here?
Well, what happened was I went to college at Ohio State, and then I moved out 23 right after college.
Really? Yeah. And what did you take in college? What did you
major in? Film. But I didn't start that way. I literally actually, because I always wanted to make TV and movies and comic books and all that. But at the same time, Ohio was so great, there's nobody doing that that's there. And so you don't really have anybody. I mean, back then, you didn't have anybody to... mentor you, so to speak. So I actually went to Ohio State, and the first year I majored in architecture because the whole thing is, get a normal job.
We were just talking about that the other day.
And I was failing miserably at that. And actually saw a friend of mine carrying a film camera across the campus, and at that day I was contemplating the failure of life, that I was never going to be anything. And I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm in the film school." And I said, "They have a film school?"
Mm-hmm.
And I followed him. Literally followed him, went and sat in the back of the class. And changed my life that day.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
So you knew deep inside that's what you wanted
to do. I was the kind of kid that I would watch all the TV shows and watch the credits. Which is the most bizarre thing. Stay at the end of a movie and watch the names.
Yeah.
But I liked storytelling, and I liked how they told stories, and always interesting to me how many people it takes to make a story.
Yeah.
We only hear about the actors, or now because of Twitter and Facebook, we hear about the writers now, and directors had a name at all always, but there's so many people. It's such a collaborative business.
Right.
So,
yeah. That's true, because sometimes I think, to make like these huge movies, how do you even start approaching it, but it's a business, right? Everybody's got their own responsibility.
It starts with the script, and whatever any genius writer writes, it takes 10 people to do whatever it is. If it's one sentence of picks up a cup of water, 10 people.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So it's a collaborative type of thing.
Absolutely.
You can't make a film by yourself.
Obviously. Not at all. I'm not a good one.
Right.
Not a good one. Yeah.
So we're talking to Eric Dean Seaton. You write comic books. You also produce movies and stuff, and we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to get some background, but for those of you just joining us now. So you mentioned comic books as well. You grew up with them?
I grew up reading comic books. My dad worked out of town. He worked in Chicago, and he would come home on the weekends, and he would take me to a coffee shop. So I would see a Sunday night, he would say goodbye, and Saturday morning, I'd wake up, and he would be waking me up.
Really?
And we would go to a coffee shop, and I'd spend the whole day with him, and the first thing, he would buy me some comic books.
Wow.
So I would sit in the car and read comic books all day. Now, the windows were all the way up, so it wasn't that safe, but,
yeah.
but I survived. You know, but I always tell everybody, if there's anything wrong with me, you know that's why, because I was just sitting in the car with the windows.
Wow.
So I just grew up reading comic books. It was the same thing as storytelling. They were just amazing. They just told so many stories. I learned so many words, you know, had a really good, couldn't spell them all, but I had a great vocabulary.
I know, and it gets you to learn to read, too,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah,
to read.
I was a reluctant reader, and that's why it started.
Oh, wow.
I'd look at those pictures and read those stories like nobody's business.
Yeah, very cool.
And it carried with me, and it's funny because once I got into it, I wanted to be a director, I kind of moved away from it. But when I moved out here, I got a job on a show called Living Single. I was a stage PA.
Oh.
I was a sitcom, Fox sitcom with Queen Latifah and Kim Coles and some other people. And the director at the time was married to the president of Marvel Comics.
Really?
And so every Tuesday when we taped the show, he would come and I would bug him and ask him a thousand ad nauseum till finally he invited me to a company they bought called Malibu Comics down in Malibu. And so me and my buddy went down, and we went down dressed in suits. And when we got there, he's like, well, why are you wearing suits? And I was like, well, you invite us. We're trying to represent. He's like, well, yeah, but he said, now you got everybody scared because the last people that wore suits was us, so we came in and bought the place.
That's hilarious.
So as we got our tour, all these people were looking at us like, oh, what, you know, but it was great. And at the end of the tour, the editor offered me a chance to write a Spider-Man Stop the Violence special.
Wow. Yay.
So I did, and they published it, and then they went into bankruptcy, so I never got it.
Oh.
But the bug was lit at that, the fire was lit at that point. It's like, you know, it's like before you did this show, someone said, hey, you want to do a radio show?
Right,
and then they just take it away from you. Oh, no, you have to do it.
Oh, wow,
yeah.
So Malibu Comics doesn't exist anymore?
No, they don't.
Because I remember them.
Yeah, it's part of Marvel. I'm sure they'll, at some point when they get done doing all their A, B, and C heroes, they'll start, you know, pulling some of those heroes out and making TV or movie shows out of them. But
yeah,
if they still own it, yeah, absolutely.
Wow, so, cool. Mm-hmm. So when you moved... When you first moved here, how old were you when you moved? Right after college?
Yeah, right after college. Yeah.
I see.
It's
okay.
Funny because my parents are older, and I realized just a couple of years ago that I spent, now I've been here almost 20 years, I spent more time away from them than I did with them growing up.
Cause oh, wow.
I left school at 18, and then I've been here 20 years. So, yeah.
Wow.
Very
cool. So you're local now.
Yeah, I am. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Angelino by every means.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
And my kids are, so yeah. And I like it here.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, where did you, so you married, you have kids, right?
I married kids, yep.
Where did you meet your wife?
I met on the pilot to the Wayans Brothers. She was the second AD, and I was the stage PA. So she was my boss.
Oh, really?
So we've gone full circle. She's back to being my boss.
Yeah, right? Isn't that always a case?
Yeah, yeah. We were friends for a long time. Friends for like 15. We married, it'll be 5 in July. So we were friends for 15 years.
Wow.
And then finally started dating. And
Wow, how does that happen?
That's so cute.
I know it's so old-fashioned, too, because the guy that married us was like, oh, you were friends first? Because everybody's the internet now.
Right.
Everybody meets over. And I was like, oh, we're old-fashioned. Like, yeah, we were friends.
Just, yeah.
And I would have fight parties with my buddy, and she would come, and she'd bring her boyfriend. All that.
We'd
pack the house. We'd pack our apartment with like 100 people, you know, sweating and the air broken and just hair falling, people sweating. So we were always hanging out and stuff, but just always as friends.
Yeah.
So, and then finally. Like,
wow. So it's true when they say, you know, I mean, a man and a woman can be friends, but I think there's always one that wants to take it beyond.
At some point, there's always one that'll.
Right.
You know.
And like, because it's kind of strange. I mean, when you're friends with someone, you don't really view them sexually or anything like that. And then suddenly it just happens, you know. So I guess men and women can be friends, but I think... Usually there is a sexual tension at least on one side.
They say men and women can't be friends because sex always gets in the way.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I've tried my whole life and it'll work for a little while and all of a sudden
they want to, you know.
Yeah, and then you wonder, do they really want to be my friend?
And I'm like, God, dang it.
So you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
One day it's going to flip.
You're
going to like one of your friends.
Wow. So that sucks because you don't know who wants to really be your friend.
Right.
Right? Oh, wow. Yeah. She doesn't mind. She's like, okay. <It's>
like, what do you do?
She'll see. She'll see.
I know. Well, so back to Eric. Mm-hmm. Now, so you guys met each other. So you were friends for a long time.
Oh, long time. Long time.
And you've been married for 5 now.
Oh, it'll be 5 in July, yeah.
Very mm-hmm. nice. And you Which have a couple kids?
Or? Yeah, 2 kids. We have a 3-year-old and a, well, there'll be 4 and 2. So, that, yeah, I had a good day on my wedding night.
Wow.
And then 2 years later on my anniversary night.
So yeah.
So stay away from me in July. That's the month you don't want to be around. Yeah.
So you waited till later in life to marry, right?
Yes.
And, did you, I mean, was that because of your career or just because you hadn't found anybody? Or
probably what? Both. The business yeah. is hard. I mean, the business is all consuming. I always tell people that are trying to get in the business, try your hardest and just remember, try your hardest with a free mind, because just remember when you quit, someone's going to take your place. So,
that's
you know,
true.
So in other words, just try not to stress over it, but just do the best you can, you know, and keep trying and you'll get there.
Yeah.
You know, but if you decide you're going to quit, no one's going to feel sorry for you.
Right.
Because you know, you only feel sorry for yourself because somebody's going to take your place.
Yeah, that's a choice, you know, to quit.
Yeah, there's so many people trying to do this and so many talented people out there.
Yeah, a lot of talented people in this town, mm-hmm, too, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely something to think about, mm-hmm, you know. So you got into comics.
I did.
By sort of by accident, because you were going into film or TV and then you met somebody,
well,
right?
It seems like it's by accident, but I think it's that fate. That thing of
you put yourself in the right place.
You're always something out there, and you try to walk away from it, and there it is staring you in the face.
Wow. Isn't that funny how that happens?
It so happens all the time. I think we talk or our minds bring things into existence because mm-hmm. we keep thinking about them all the time, and then it guides us to that thing, you know. Because even though I met the guy, I didn't have to talk to him all the time, but I knew he was president of Marvel. Why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it brought this. And then I spent the next 8 years like coming up with my book, Legend of the Mantamaji.
Wow.
And I would direct by day and then do pages by night. And I had an artist that I met named Brandon. It's funny, we met over the internet. We didn't meet in person until the books were done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we met not last year, but the year before at a comic book convention. He walked up to me and said, hey, Eric. And I said, yes. He said, I'm Brandon.
Oh.
We shook hands. That's the first time we actually saw. I knew what he looked like, I didn't even really know what he looked like, because the picture in the back of the books for our biographies, he sent an animated picture.
Really?
Oh,
so then
my
I
gosh.
Changed them all to, and I changed all of us, me, the colorist. You have a colorist and you have a letterer that does the letters. So I made all of them animated pictures. So,
really? Nice.
So I mean, could I have picked him out in the lineup? No. But I kind of knew what he looked like. So then, and we're, you know, he's a good friend, even though we never see each other. He's a really good guy.
Very cool.
We work really well
together.
We'll
talk about the books at length.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know, when you first started in comics, what did you do? When you talked to the president, you told him you wanted to get into it, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so in what capacity did you start? Did he tell you, okay, come work for us?
Well, no, I started, I was lucky that he offered me to write something, which is the simplest.
Oh, he
thing.
Did. So
yeah,
you just told him, I love comics, I can write and all that. Uh-huh. And he said, write something and show it to me?
Uh-huh. And it turned out good. It turned out good.
Obviously.
But after that, I kind of went the independent route, and it's, with my books, which is what I always tell everybody, it's fine to do today, mm-hmm, because you know, like 50 Shades of Grey was an independent, you know, was a
right,
fiction,
who knew?
But right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you can, with the internet and stuff, you can be your own self publisher.
That's true.
I mean, the lady that wrote Vampire Diaries, which is written like in the 70s or 80s, she ended up not being involved in the books anymore, wrote fan fiction of the book, and now is rewriting the books.
Really?
So I mean, you know, like you can do it yourself in your own. You don't need all the things that you needed back in the day.
Technology has really empowered us to do things ourselves now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So so you decided you're going to come up with your own story, your own series and everything. Did you already have something in your head?
No, I had ideas in my head, but what I did is, because I'd never written a book before, I wrote it in the way that I know how to do, which is television, as a television director. So I wrote it in a like miniseries type of form, which is like a book, but it's still, you know, it's longer than a TV show, but not as long as a book. So I ended up, what I always tell everybody is, if you're getting into a new world, do what you know under their rules. You know what I mean? So I wrote it more in a miniseries type of form, but it was still like a book.
There you
go. You know what I mean? So that way I wasn't fully trying to dive into something that takes years to master.
Right.
I was diving into it, doing it the way I know how to do it.
Right. So the TV background helped you a little
absolutely.
Bit as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So you see, that's the thing. People have to be really multi-talented to succeed today, right? Mm-hmm. You have to develop your talents. You have to take advantage of every opportunity that's out there. Because like you said, there's so many people that can replace you and are doing great stuff. You really have to stand out there. So, but that begs the question, if you come up with this and self-publish, you can't really compete against Marvel and DC, right? Do you? Can you still find your niche?
Absolutely, you can.
Really? Mm-hmm.
And we have. We've definitely found. I mean, do we do sales as big as them yet? No, because we're not in as many places.
Right.
But we've definitely found our niche. We're definitely growing. We definitely have a big audience that's growing, that's passionate about it. We had shot a live-action short, which is the first we did of the first book, the first scene of the first book.
Really?
And that's on the YouTube. And
that's really cool.
And it's doing really, really good, and people are really excited about that. And we get one of two things. Either they really liked it and it helps them buy the book, or it they see it and then they go, oh, I need to get these books.
Really?
Yeah, so it works really well.
So how
well.
Can people find that video?
Go to our website, legendofthemantamaji.com, which is MANTAMAJI.com. I always have to spell it.
So. And we'll put the spelling on the website so you guys can go and check it out. Mm-hmm. But, so on the website and everything, people can find out, see the video and everything. Yeah, I'm eager to see that.
Oh, you like it?
I like when they bring comics into life.
To life, you know? Right. That is so cool.
And that is why so many comic book films now are so popular, right?
Oh, absolutely.
They keep cranking them out all the time.
Absolutely. Well, the two companies that are the big companies are making their own products by people that grew up reading those products.
Yeah.
And that's why they're turning out good. Mm-hmm. You know.
I see. So those are the readers.
Absolutely.
The readers.
The old readers are now. Making their fantasy, the things they grew up reading.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Kelsey, did you ever have any interest in comic books at all? Any comics?
I did not.
No, huh? Because you're a girl.
I didn't. I wish I could say I did, but
she's not into science fiction, so.
I'm not.
Know. Not at all? Nothing? There's no. What's your favorite genre?
Genre? Here lately, I've been really into like suspense thriller
of
stuff.
Oh,
yeah. I'm a huge like investigation discovery addict.
Uh-huh.
So really?
I watch, you know, Snapped and
so you like mystery
Wives
stuff.
With Knives.
Oh, good. No, that's a good genre. Yeah.
I love them because I think partly because they make me realize that I'm not that crazy.
Right, right.
Kind of puts my level of insanity in perspective. Like court TV, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're like, whoa, they are really crazy.
Yeah.
I'm just
yeah.
kind of crazy.
Right, right.
Yeah, because I'm watching it. Right,
right, exactly. But no, I really enjoy that. And then I love comedy and drama and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you can appreciate the art of comic books,
oh, of
right?
Course.
I mean, it's just amazing. So let's go ahead and talk about the series. So you came out with a series of what, three comic books?
Three book graphic novel series. Each book
right.
over 200
And there are graphic novels. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're thick. It's mm-hmm. not like a regular comic book.
No, no.
So is that like a series or is it like each one continues the other one?
Yes,
or?
It's a three book series about this shallow, conceited district attorney of New York who finds out he's the last in a race called the Mantamaji. They used to protect us from the forces of evil. So he's the last person you would ever want to be a hero.
Oh.
Has to defend us from an evil sorcerer who's been resurrected in New York City.
Wow.
So a lot of fantasy in the present day and
that's
sci-fi
so cool.
and world building and all that. And each book is over 200 pages. And it's a continuous story, but there's a beginning, middle, and end. So there's an ending in each book and a twist,
wow.
which carries you to the next book. And then it wraps up in the third one.
That's so cool. I'm a bit of a reluctant reader myself. Mm-hmm. I prefer pictures. I guess I'm more visual.
You
so.
This would be right up your alley. You would like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Like
try it. What the hell, yeah. you know. Mm-hmm. And So the series of the book is Legend of the Mantamaji.
Yep.
And where did you get that word? The name?
It's I made it up. It's a derivative of man magic in Italian.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's close to man magic in Italian. Uh-huh. It really was a thing where it's impossible to trademark any names.
Yeah.
Everything's been
right?
used.
I know.
That's true.
So why not come up with your own?
That's
so it's
true.
Great. It is, you know, once people learn how to say it, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue really nicely. Yeah.
And people remember it.
They do.
But, it's unusual.
But when they look at it a lot of times. When we were in Canada, it was the Manjami.
Like
everybody was like Manjami, and like in different countries that we've been to, because we've been on like a comic book tour, we go to like different cities and been to Canada and all that, and we at Puerto Rico, which is still this country, but it was far away. It was interesting to hear when people look at it how they pronounce it.
Yeah,
once you tell them, they never forget it.
Yeah,
right.
But it's interesting when they first glance at it. You know.
Yeah.
So
very cool. So. So you've created characters here. Now, it's very interesting. So when you wrote this, did you use any pictures at all? Did you use it what do you call those? Like, not the script, but the
concept images?
The visual the visual part of making the movie.
Storyboard. I would write it out in long paragraphs for Brandon.
Okay.
And he would translate it and stuff. But as a visual director, a lot of it was storyboarding for me. Like, it was very easy. That part was very easy.
Right.
Because I kind of knew what I wanted in different things. But he's very creative, because when we designed the costume, I did the original design of the costume, but I sent him pictures of like different parts of different bodies. I was like, I want this, I want that. The weapon the hero uses is an ankh, which is the Egyptian key of life, which is a true artifact. You know, like, I grounded it in things that are all real, and then did my own little fantasy twist on it.
Very cool. Yeah, so you said you had never seen him before. Where did you meet this guy, and how did you know to trust him that he would do what you needed?
Internet. Like, it's weird. Like, just like people take Uber. Like, you just
right.
You just kind of trust the system, I guess. I mean,
that's true.
I sent him. What I did was, I did everything different. Like, I wanted to, I, you know, I see all these comic books and the heroes in these cool poses and all that, but I really wanted to tell a story.
Right.
So I sent him, there's a lot of flashbacks in the book where you find out about these Mantamaji that were around 3,000 years ago. So I sent him a sample scene from 3,000 years ago, because I wanted to see if he could do Egypt and see if he could do the look that I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it, and it was perfect, and it's in the book. Wow. And we never changed it.
Oh, nice.
And so that was his sample that he did, and then I was like, okay, you're hired. And then we just started from there.
Very cool.
And then it was probably half a year before he actually drew Mantamaji, because I did a lot of scenes about the characters behind the scenes and all that type of stuff first. That was more important to me, was being able to what they look like out of the, you know, anybody can do a superhero pose, you know, that's what kids draw every day.
Right.
But I really wanted to tell a story.
Yeah.
So we did the story first, and then we got into the superhero stuff. So he probably had more fun towards the end of our 6-year or 7-year run than he did at the beginning.
Wow, it took that long.
Yeah.
Well, three books, there's a lot of content.
And the funny thing was, the cool thing is, I grew up reading comic books, and a lot of books would just stop when the publisher stopped publishing them, so you'd never get to the end of the story. So one of the caveats we had was we had to finish the story first before they came out.
Nice.
So we got to the third book after I'd done the first two. I didn't really like the third book. It wasn't big enough for me, so we redid it. We kind of threw it
out.
Yeah. We used some of the pages and moved things around, but I was like, this isn't big enough. It needs to be more epic.
Wow.
So then we redid it. So that pushed it back another year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's cool to be able to do that, you know? I mean, because if I just like, you know, by the third book, I would just say, you know what, let's just keep it the way it is. I'm tired of doing this, but no, you wanted it to be complete from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, these are very high-quality paper and everything. You know, now this is published by what, Action Entertainment?
My company and Action Entertainment. I self-published it.
And Action Entertainment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's your company.
My company. Yeah.
Have you guys brought on any other artists and stuff?
Not yet. We have our colorist and our letterer, but it's just the four of us right now.
Right.
And hopefully we'll expand as we get to do more. We're actually working on another book called Legend of the Mantamaji Bloodlines, which continues this story of the characters that survive, the third book. So we're working on that now. But yeah, it's just the four of us right now.
Wow. So now, when you continue with Bloodline and that, is that something that came to you after you finished the books, or did you already have that in your mind?
I had like little paragraphs of all different types of stories I wanted to do.
Right.
But this is actually combining two of them. So we're working on it now. So another thing we did is he draws out of order. So he doesn't draw page 1 to 200. I give him scenes, and each scene has a name. And he's drawing each scene, and then we'll lay it out afterward.
Oh, so he's doing, like making a film.
Yeah, it's like just like making a film. As I said, I take the world I know and translate it to trying to do this other world.
That works perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, have you done any film or television work beyond what you did in the beginning? I mean, because you focused on comic books and stuff. Have you been doing other work as well?
Oh, yeah. I'm a regular sitcom comedy director.
Really?
Cool.
I'm doing Dr. Ken for ABC in a couple weeks. I did some Undateables, which was one of the best experiences of my life. I did Truth Be Told for NBC. I've done a lot of shows for Nickelodeon, The Thundermans, and...
So you really live in the dream, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You definitely live in the dream.
Very,
you're doing
very
what
lucky.
You set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very inspiring, because, you know, you get like hundreds of thousands of people moving here to be in entertainment, and they don't get far, you know, because, well, I don't know, for many reasons, but obviously you have to be very focused, very ambitious, you know, and persistent.
Persistent. It's very hard. It's a long road. And there's weird. There's no rules, but there's things you have to do. It's the weirdest thing in the world. Like, like everybody's story is different how they got somewhere. But if you then break down the steps that they did, all the steps are the same. Mm-hmm. But there's no rules to say that you can't be this or you can't do that. So
Very cool. So tell us a little bit about the story of Montemaggi. So I see there's several characters here.
Yes,
it's not just one. I really like. I'm blown away by how you can come up with something like this and the detail and everything.
It's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a very multicultural story. It's the lead character Elijah just goes on this journey where he's just a shallow person, and that's the lesson of the books, that he has to learn to become a better person. And he has a girlfriend who you find out, without ruining it, is equal to him. Like, it really could have been called, both of their characters could have had a lead thing. So she also goes on a hero journey because she's more than meets the eye. And just a lot of twists and a lot of characters that are interesting to people. And I thought it was good that the villain was posing. The villain is he's also posing as a religious leader,
My gosh,
which I think kind of plays into a lot of things we hear today.
Applicable to the times.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's what I try to do, is like take a lot of things that people can relate to and then put a little fantasy twist on it.
Very nice. I mean, I really like this, and you guys should really get these books because and this is aimed at adults as well as
absolutely
young readers,
at 9 to 99, or unless your kid is 8, then 8 to 88,
right.
But they're written that they can go. It's good family entertainment, but a lot of action, a lot of suspense, a lot of drama.
Very high quality graphics.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
You guys really took the time and invested the money to make it feel, the tactile feeling of it is very important. I mean, for me as a reader, I like the way a book feels.
Absolutely.
The way it smells, the way everything, And in this world of digital publishing, I salute you for actually doing print.
Right.
And, I mean, that's still where it's at, You can't read a comic book on a tablet. It's not the same.
It's not. No.
People try, and ours are available that way, but, I tell everybody, go to Amazon and get them on Amazon. Or you can order them from our website, and I sign every copy, but it's great to get them, and they feel good, and they really look good on your shelf.
I know. And there's quite a bit to read here, so it's not like those slim comic books.
No.
And it's quite a story. I mean, when you put them together, it's a pretty thick book.
Thank you.
Very nice. Did you release them all at the same time?
No, one at a time. They came out last year, about 3 months apart.
Apart.
And it did really well. Like, one would do well, and then everybody come in and they get the next one. So all three are out now. But and then the next one will be released, and then that's going to have a cliffhanger too. But people have to wait a little bit for that one because now we're caught up. We did them all ahead of time. Now we're actually caught up. So.
Very nice. I did want to ask about there was so many things I want to ask you. What's the website again?
legendofthemantemaggi.com.
Okay, and you guys, it's probably better if they just Google it, because Google will correct the spelling.
It'll take you everywhere.
So I'm really kind of curious about your future plans with this, this massive series. Are you wanting to make a movie, a feature
film?
Be great.
Oh, I would love to. Movie or a TV series, I would love to. Like, we shot the short, and the first thing I want to do is maybe shoot some more shorts. I might call you.
That'd be great.
I mean, like, just like different, they could be based off the characters. They'll definitely be based off the characters, but they don't have to be a story that happens in the books. It could be their own individual little stories, because we had so many backstories with the characters and some of the characters going forward. I definitely love to do that. I think the digital age, and it also helps build the property and build that. I'd love to do it as a TV series or a movie. I think it would be really cool.
That would
and
be
really,
awesome.
Really different.
So what I did want to ask you is, did you consider actually selling your stories to the big companies, or did you consciously from the beginning decide, I'm going to self-publish
them? No, I constantly from the beginning just kind of wanted to do it myself. And the reason being is because as a director, you work for all these big companies, and I've done six pilots now, and in a pilot, you kind of sit in the room when they're having all the meetings.
Right.
And you just see, that's what we don't have in America anymore, is ownership. And you just see how these people rebrand their properties and how they own their properties and redo things with these properties. And back in the 90s and 80s and 70s and before that, you know, the small man used to own stuff with everybody. These big companies would come buy it from you, you know. And so I wanted ownership. I wanted that feeling. I wanted to see the things I experienced in that room. Maybe it's that fantasy life. I wanted to have those meetings with you guys or with people or my friends or my artists or whatever of what we're going to do.
Right.
You know, and you, and if you don't own it, you never have those, that opportunity.
That's true.
So
yeah.
Now, that's not to say you can't sell it. I mean, look, you know, Lucas even sold Star Wars at some point, but he owned it. You know
exactly.
What I mean,
I mean, my dad's a businessman, and he always right. says everything's for sale.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Like every, you know, everything's for sale. But that, just that ownership of having that original, you know, be yours and do it your way and all that. You know, I kind of wanted that feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very having cool. seen it, having yeah. seen how they are, you know, how the companies are. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For those of you joining us, we're talking to Eric Dean Seaton, and he's a comic book writer, producer. A filmmaker, television professional. So you do a lot of things.
I do.
And very cool. So you must have a very interesting life.
It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, at least a satisfying life.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, this is all a blessing to be able to do any of this stuff. It's so incredibly hard. But I would always tell everybody, don't let that get you down. Just keep trying.
Yeah.
And doors open, you know, doors open.
Yeah.
Which is interesting when they do. But the one thing you can't do, and I was just talking to a friend of mine, you, try not to predict what door you want to open. And that's not, that's the next part. Once one door opens, then you start to, I want this, I want that, I want that. You can't determine when those doors, you just have to keep banging.
Really?
And another
so
door.
True.
Yeah. He's a businessman, and he's has all these companies, and that's the one, his motto this year from us talking was like, you're right, I can't demand that I want this deal to go before that deal.
Yeah.
I just need to work on all my deals, and whichever one opens up, then it'll lead to.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing, we get so intense that we want something a certain way, or it's not, it doesn't feel the same. No, it is whatever you create it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the series is Legend of Manta Maji, and you guys can get this on Amazon, right?
Absolutely.
Through your website and everything. And the last few minutes, you also brought your beautiful publicist with you, Tegan.
Yes.
And I'm afraid of losing her here to her phone. So, Tegan, say hi to us. We want to hear, get closer to the mic. It's okay. I know you're not shy. You're just pretending
I'm
to be.
I'm really shy, and I think
you're
Eric
not shy.
Is
I heard,
handling it very well.
I overheard you from the other room. You were louder than Eric. Relax. So how did you guys meet, Tegan?
We actually met through my husband.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a groomsman at my wedding.
Oh, really wow.
Oh, really?
Really good guy. I never talked to him anymore now that I talked to Tegan.
Yeah.
So if
that's
you're listening,
hilarious.
I get emails from him during sports, but that's about it. Like, I don't think I've talked to him this year.
That's so funny. That's
true. He's a big sports fan.
Yeah, so that's where we talk now, through sports.
Oh, were you already publicist at that point?
I've been a publicist for over a decade.
Really?
Yes.
She's big time. She does Empire. And
yeah, huh?
She's done a lot
of
big
Empire most recently.
Creed.
Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight, Creed.
Wow.
Yeah,
he's my only personal client.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, but look I'm the small fry compared to what stuff she's
doing. Well, that's the point. If you're around her, you'll probably be big like the others.
So.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I mean, you have your unique thing. You know, it's not about being as big as the next person, but it's about expressing yourself, about creating something unique.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you created a look, you created a feel for your books, you know, and that's something that a lot of people can't say, you know. So you're entrepreneurial, you know, and obviously so are you. What did you do before you went PR?
Oh, wow.
Okay, you don't
Let's
have
see,
to tell
where
us.
Where do I start? I was actually in marketing.
Oh, really?
Corporate America.
Yeah.
Tired of it.
Yes.
My degree is in marketing and PR.
So you decided to go off on your own?
I did. Well, actually, no. I started under Anna Fuson with Red Sea Entertainment. She gave me my stripes many years ago. I was introduced to her by someone else in the business. And we worked together. My first film was Tyler Perry's Daddy's Little Girls. And I went on to do about 9 of Tyler Perry's films. And about 4 years ago, I started Tegan Lee and Associates, TLA, which is my company, and I've been on my own ever since.
Wow, very cool. So the name of the company is what?
Tegan Lee and Associates,
okay.
TLA.
TLA, and you guys can find her if you want to become big or if you're already big.
That's right.
Come to Tegan. She's going to make you famous. Now... how long
I'll
have you been in
try.
It? Are you originally from LA or did you move here too?
I am. I'm from Long Beach.
Really?
I am. East Side girl.
Oh, yeah. Not many people are born in LA, you know.
I know.
But there you
Very
go,
true.
You know. So, and I'm not surprised you're still here. It's the best place in the world to
I
live.
I love it here.
Right?
I love it. Yeah. I couldn't see myself living anywhere else. It's here.
Cool.
Yeah.
So now, so you guys are doing radio and everything. Where else are you going to be? Like, are you going to do any signings at all?
Yeah, I'm going to be at WonderCon in L.A.
Oh, nice.
Easter weekend.
Easter weekend. Yeah, that's coming up.
Friday, Saturday, and then Easter Sunday.
Wow.
We'll have the short playing on a monitor behind us, so people can come by and see the short, get some books, some signing. And I think I'm doing the L.A. Book Fair. We signed up. They haven't emailed us back yet, but yes.
Nice. So, and will you give people free autographs, or are you going to charge
autographs
them, like,
are free.
Stan Lee?
No, all autographs. Listen, you're lucky that somebody wants to look at your ugly handwriting. Yes, all autographs are free.
I know. It's like my daughter always goes to Comic-Con. She says, all these people charge to take pictures with them and for the autographs. And I'm like,
aww. Oh, they make bank.
But the thing is, you have to remember also, I mean, you're there to please your fans. You know, you don't start charging them to be with you or to let people know that they met you, you know.
Yeah.
And what does it say about you? How desperate must you be to collect money on your autographs, you know? I mean, come on. But so I'm glad you're going to give them out for free.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll make sure. I know by the time that show comes around, my daughter's going to be a big fan of yours, because I'm going to read this and she's going to read this.
Awesome.
And then she'll seek you out for autographs.
Oh, please have her come
stuff,
by.
I'm
yeah,
sure.
It'd be great. And take a picture with her and everything. Yeah.
But I think if we can learn a lesson here today, folks, from Eric and from Tegan, it's that you got to go after your dream, and you got to be the right place to meet people, right?
Absolutely.
Both of you met people.
Yeah, you can't do it on your own. You have to be open to meeting people, talking to people, network. The hardest part is the networking.
Yeah,
you know, and my advice for anybody that's networking is, when you meet somebody, don't ask them what they can do for you. Ask them how they got there.
Oh, wow.
Because all the information they're going to tell you,
right. People
love to talk about themselves.
Right.
So all the information that they're going to tell you is A, going to help you, and B, going to make them more open to you.
Yeah.
Because you're not asking for something right away.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's very
Except
true.
Except for advice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you have to deal with, like, having connections and stuff too, right? I mean, you get so many gigs and stuff. So that works.
Of course.
You have to be in the right place.
Of course, yes. You really do. It is all about the network. But I found, you know, kind of the more you work, the more you work type of thing.
Because,
you know, you make connections that way, and then you have, like, repeat bosses.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So this is cool. And I think a lot of people will be inspired by your story. I think you've done very well. You've come a long way. I mean, you know, in 20 years to have produced all this is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You know, and so where can people find you through your website? Do you have social networks?
Through the website, everything is Legend of the Mantamaji or my name, Eric Dean Seaton.
Okay.
Twitter, Instagram, Legend of Mantamaji Facebook page is really big. And then to go on the website, it has all the links. It has the short. It has how you can buy the books, where we'll be. Articles, reviews, anything you need. Yeah.
Very cool. And Eric obviously is a very down-to-earth person. Probably going to get back to you if you write.
Oh, absolutely.
To him, right?
Oh, no, we respond. I respond to everything personally. Stuff. Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for making this happen. We really appreciate
you.
It.
Yeah. You and Kelsey.
Yeah, you guys are a lot of fun.
Awesome.
And much success to you. So what's next for you now?
Next, I'm going to be directing Dr. Ken, which will be out. We're doing it in a week, it's the 19th episode, so I don't know when it'll air. It's close to the season, so it may not air till April or May.
Really?
And then,
did you direct that one? Or?
No, I'm going to do it in a week.
Oh, okay. Are you going to direct it or produce it?
Direct it. I'm a director.
Direct
I direct TV.
Right.
I do that. I just did a Thundermans last week, which I love, for Nickelodeon, which is a very fun show.
Wow.
And then we have some more dates. We're going to be in Chicago for C2E2, and then WonderCon, and then the LA Book Fair, and of course San Diego Comic Con again. And then I don't know in between.
Yeah. Everybody check out the site, and you can find out everything that's going to happen, and meet Eric and everything. The Legend of Mantamaji. You see, I'm managing to say it.
You're doing good.
I still have to read it.
Yeah.
But in a couple of days it'll be.
You will be a Mantamaji.
Yeah. Second nature. Yeah. Eric Dean Seaton, thank you so much
thank
for joining
for
us.
It's such a pleasure. Really
You're very inspiring. Yeah. Much success to you.
Thank you.
And taking the same to you as well. You've brought us somebody very special, I think, and you can continue to bring us people, special people and stuff.
Absolutely.
You're a friend
we'll
of the station.
We'll be back when the next book drops.
Yes.
Yay.
Please do.
Thank
all right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. Kelsey, thank you. as always.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasant journey with you. And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.